The messages to date have been Jesus, our hope, and Jesus, our peace. Tonight I'd like to proclaim Jesus, God's love, and Sunday, Jesus, our joy. If you would like, please take your Bible and open to the book of Luke in chapter 2, beginning in the 8th verse, or you could watch along as we read the words on the wall. Tonight, as we consider the gift of God being Jesus Christ, His love to the world, I want us to pay particular attention to how God used the shepherds to tell the story of love in Jesus. Let's read. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find that babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and all that was told them. Here we have the account of the incarnation. The incarnation of God through Jesus being announced to the world. The message is, He's here! It's a prophecy fulfilled. I am often very much in awe at the ways of God. And I think it's interesting that God could have dealt with man in any fashion that He would choose. He could have dealt with man's redemption in any way that He wanted to. He could have set him free from the slavery of sin in any fashion that God would speak forth. He could have sent His Son in any fashion. But He chose to send His Son as a child. The child of Mary. And when the time came, He could have announced to whomever He wanted to announce that He's here. Now, if it were me, I think I would have chosen some governor or some prince or some official to say, "Guess what? The King of Kings has come." But not God. He chose the shepherds to make His first announcement through an angel and a host of angels that God had arrived. Did you ever ask, why the shepherds? Probably most of us never really have pondered that, but isn't that an interesting thing that God would say to the shepherds out in the field, "He's here first"? Our typical thinking would be that if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was about to come, why not to Caesar? Why not to Herod? But to the shepherds. Now please understand that the shepherds were regarded as having an honorable occupation, but they weren't very high on the socioeconomic ladder. They were known as nomadic wanderers who typically did not dress very well, did not speak very well, and certainly did not smell very well. But God said it was to those men. Did you ever wonder why the angels appeared to them? I have at times, and the best answer I can come up with is what I've learned in the Scripture. Isaiah 55 says this, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I remember, oh yeah, that's right. I don't think like God thinks. So it makes me wonder, He knew something about those guys, just like He knows something about us. And then for 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I read these words, "But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." That's what Paul said about the gospel. And so we find that these men had a mission. And the Scripture goes on to say God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen these things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And then I think, I'm starting to get it. See, God knew these men, that they were humble, and they were believing, and they were obedient. And then I start to think, what about you? What about me? What if He would have given us the task to go tell it to everyone? What would we have done with that annunciation of the incarnation? Did you notice in the text, they didn't question God? They didn't explain it away. They didn't franchise the moment by turning it to their own glory to say, look what privilege it is mine. In addition, did you notice they went immediately? They didn't wait. They did it then. And many would have not done these things. Perhaps that's why He chose the shepherd. So as we've come together tonight to talk about Jesus, God's love, I want you to think about you. Don't think about me. Think about you. Are you in a place of humility and belief and obedience? Or when God arrives in your life, do you have a tendency to explain Him away? To say, well, wait till tomorrow when I'm ready? And do you go when He says go? Now, from that text, and there are some words that jump out at me. Here are some Christmas words. One of them is fear. Another one of them is good news. Another phrase is great joy. Another is peace. Another is goodwill. And then I like this one, marveled. And then pondered. And here are two Christmas words that are not in that list that we read tonight. One of them is impossible. And the other is love. And you know, Christmas still rings with these thoughts and these reactions. For some, Christmas still brings fear. It is unsettling for some to think that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh and that we would worship Him as so. But in that fear, just as the angel says, wait a minute, don't be afraid. It's really good news. It's really great joy. And for some, Christmas does bring peace. But for others, it just stirs things up. For sure, Christmas is a time of goodwill. Even the secular and the cultural tradition seem to have goodwill at the root. Christmas, by observation, is not simply spiritual vertical worship. Although some of us prefer it that way. That's not what it is by observation. It's some combination of the remembrance of the incarnation of Christ translated into the horizontal goodwill toward men. Somehow, a free ham has something to do with God coming to the earth. Somehow, a Christmas bonus from work. Somehow, there's goodwill that translates from the birth of the Savior to you going home to say, guess what? I got a bonus at Christmas. Somehow that vertical coming of God translates into family get-togethers. And it makes sense to some extent as a result of the reality of Christ coming to earth. But I really like these reactions. Marveled. It was a marvelous thing that the shepherds came and told the people, He's born, He's here. It was worth marveling after. But his mom, she didn't marvel as much as she what? She pondered. And she kept all of these things in her heart. And so in the amazement of it all, there's something that happens in the heart. And we start to think about, is it true? And if he's come, what does it mean? And what does it mean to me? And then I really like that word, impossible. We learned that they were told nothing is impossible with God. That's true at Christmas. And ultimately, love. You see, love is God's view of what happened at Christmas. That's why the Scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so tonight, let's just talk for a moment about Jesus being God's love. Jesus being God's love. I want to share four thoughts that I hope will help you to marvel and ponder and believe. The first is this. In Jesus, God breathed upon the world His gracious love. We had Breath of Heaven sung tonight already. And that's what happened. God said they are in rebellion and I should punish them, but by His grace, His unmerited favor, He sent His only begotten Son. Now get this. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. And the further I go, the more marvelous God's love is, the more amazing God's love is. And the best I can say is this, that God loves us because God loves us. That doesn't sound very profound. But I know this much, there's nothing we have done to deserve His love or to earn His love. And we certainly have earned, you see, His punishment. But He loves us. It's like a parent loves a child. It is what it is. Even if you don't feel loved, God loves you. And He breathed His love that night. Through Mary giving birth, Jesus became the breath of heaven on earth. Secondly, in Jesus, God blessed the world with His divine love. He breathed upon the world with His gracious love. Here He blesses the world with His divine love. There's an old Wesleyan hymn that says, love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. And Jesus is God's love, who is a blessing. He is a blessing. He puts us in the place of being blessed when by His love He sent Jesus. His love satisfies. His love brings contentment. His love puts everything in place. We are most happy when we have understood and received God's blessed love named Jesus. See, until Jesus is the master of our life, until He is leading our heart, we are not content. And we continue to search for meaning. But when Christ comes, He blesses. He gives us that satisfaction, that contentment. Thirdly, in Jesus, God bestowed His providing love upon the world. This is what He said. He said, you owe a debt that you can't pay. And I can pay a debt that I do not owe. And God provided a way back to Him when there was no way through Jesus Christ, His providing love. And on Christmas, He bestowed that upon the whole world. In Jesus Christ, He provided covering for the lawless behavior of the world. In Jesus, He provided covering for the rebellious behavior of the world. The lawless behavior is this. Who cares? I'm going to do what I want to do. The rebellious behavior is this. I know what I should do, but I'm going to do what I want to do. In Jesus, God provided covering for the shortcomings of the world. In Jesus, He provided covering for the omissions of the world. In Jesus, if you didn't get it, He provided covering for all of the sin of all of the world. All people, all time, everywhere. And so He sent Jesus, breathing His gracious love, blessing with His divine love, bestowing His providing love, and fourthly, in Jesus, God beckoned the world with His sovereign love. There's a call in Christmas. And the call is, come to God through Jesus. He is born, now come. He chose us as the objects of His love sovereignly and providentially. That's what I mean. He loves us because He loves us. Don't ask me why He loves us. The best answer I have is because He loves us. And so through Jesus, you see, He knows us like a shepherd knows his sheep. And as the evening began, we talked about shepherds. Let's close by doing the same. Did you know that Jesus is a shepherd? Isaiah 40 and verse 11 prophesies this. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arm. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead them who are with young. And in John chapter 10 verses 14 and 15, Jesus said He was a shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And Peter said, keep your eyes open, in 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd appears, Jesus Christ, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So this Jesus who is God's love, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the sovereign shepherd. He is the shepherd of love. That's a good word to describe Christmas. Love. God's love. Born. Jesus beckons tonight. He calls with His love. His divine love. His love that excels all other loves is what Wesley wrote. Remember that hymn? Love divine, all loves excelling that I mentioned. Here's some more words of that. Try to fathom them. Ponder these words. Love divine, all loves excelling. The love God has bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ is greater than the love of a husband and a wife. It's greater than the love of best friends. It's greater than a love of a parent for a child. It excels all other loves because it is divine love. He is the joy of heaven to earth come down. See, Jesus was a joy in heaven. And still is. God sent Him. Here's what the hymn says. Fix in us thy humble dwelling and thy faithful mercy's crown. Jesus, you art all compassion, pure, unbounded love, you are. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Tonight, as we remember Christmas Eve, I would ask that maybe you could pray some things similar to what that hymn says. Could you pray, God, fix your dwelling place in my heart tonight? You came to that lowly manger. Could you come into this heart, Lord? Make me new or renew me. Would you pray, visit me with your salvation tonight, Lord? You remember Simeon the prophet at the temple? He said, basically, I can die now because I've seen the Lord's salvation. He waited and waited and waited and hung out at the temple. And when he saw Christ, he knew. And see, that's the climax of Christmas. That there would be salvation. Would you pray, Lord, enter my trembling heart? See, it's a marvelous thing that has us to ponder, to believe and to obey. So I say this, God's love seems impossible. But we must remember what was said Nothing is impossible with God. God's love is worth pondering. I want you to take it home tonight and mull it over. What difference does it make? And God's love becomes marvelous. It's amazing. And you see, if you'll do what we read about happened there, you might catch just a glimpse of, you know, the depth of Christmas. You might find yourself marveling and pondering His amazing love. Jesus is as old as His heavenly Father. Think about that. And ages older than His earthly mother. He wasn't born when He was born. He has always been and will always be. He and the Father are one. Yet, somewhere around 4 or 5 B.C., He came to earth and was born. He was a human child and at the same time a divine son. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us, what? A child is born, a son is given." He was a boy, but He was God's son. That's Jesus. Old as His dad, ages older than His mom, came as a child, yet was the Son of God. He was wounded by Satan, but He crushed Satan. See, His work wasn't just upon the earth. His work was in the spiritual domain. First messianic prophecy. Serpent. God said, what? He will bruise your heel, but He will crush your head. And so you see, that's Jesus. He was appointed the Savior of men, yet He was crucified by men. Add that up. He came to save, and we stretched Him out and nailed Him to a cross. He's the judge of all men, but He was put on trial by men. He died and He was buried, yet He lives. He saved others, but He did not save Himself. He could have saved Himself. And if He would have saved Himself, there'd be no hope for us. His love would have been incomplete. He chose not to save Himself. He had no sin, but He became all sin. At His crucifixion, when all the sin of the world, of all the people of the world, of all the time of the world was heaped upon Him, there was this moment of separation between God the Father and God the Son. My God, why have You what? Forsaken me. Never sinned. Yet all the sin heaped upon Him. He was the King of glory, yet He wore no crown but the crown of thorns. There was never another who had the angelic hails of heaven, yet on earth gave Himself to the murderous nails of men. He was a victim of the Roman cross and a victor of the Jewish grave. See, Jesus, there has never been and there will never be one like Him. Jesus is God's love incarnate. I can't paint it any better. I can't make it, you know, any brighter. I can't make it any more clear. We don't need to embellish what God did in the birth of His Son. And so in the middle of our hams and bonuses and gifts and get-togethers, we can never strip away. It's all about Jesus, God's love. Almighty Father in heaven, we come before You this night and we thank You for the amazing love that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, it is still overwhelming. It's too much to handle. And we are busy in the world. And we've come this night to marvel and ponder and believe and obey. And I pray, Lord, that You would go to work as Your Holy Spirit, even now, that even one of us would leave having the peace of Christ in our hearts. We thank You and we love you because you have loved us. In the name of Jesus, amen.